This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars beat the Steelers in preseason week one, 23-21, the final. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And the phone lines are lighting up already after Blake Bortles lit up the crowd tonight, 11 of 15. 118 yards, could have been more, three drops, one overthrow, a rushing touchdown of 4 yards for number five tonight, and a poised and confident effort for the quarterback.
Yeah, he just really looked good out there tonight. And really, I thought for the most part, you could pick out some examples of when they didn't play well, but for the most part, the line looked significantly better than we got used to seeing them last year.
No doubt, yeah.
And a couple of times, you know, JP, you look as Pittsburgh scored that first time, the worst part of it was, to me, not that Devon House got beat and he tried to grab Martavis Bryant. It was on the two-point play. Reminded me of the Dallas game in London last year. It's watching Tony Romo stand behind the line and check down one to another, and then
thanks
turn his head.
Memory.
I mean, right? And that's what it was like with Ben Roethlisberger, just kind of scanning the field there. But Blake had a couple of those opportunities as well, and he took advantage of them. Hit big plays down the field. Look, they didn't hit the big bomb, but they threw it down the field. It was not dink and dunk tonight. Yes, they checked down to the backs, but that was an effective play for them. A lot of positives. Certainly there are things we're going to pick apart, and I'm sure the callers will as well, and that's part of the process here.
When you can check down to the backs and the receivers are downfield far enough, when you check down to the backs, they have room to run after the catch. That's a good thing, right? I mean, that's the whole point of having a check down, and if he has some room to run and can make a guy miss, then all of a sudden you have some kind of a play that you check down to.
And some of those, I think, were design screens and really right. Well-executed. Kind of
the Toby Gerhardt play.
The Gerhardt play where he delayed his release and then came out, and they had three guys out in front. It's kind of the dream of how you draw it up on the chalkboard if you're Greg Olsen. Now, it's not going to always work that effectively in the regular season, but you had some good things there. You got some push in the running game early when the main guys were in there. And, prior to the kneel down by Chad Henne, the average 4 yards a carry, got sloppy in the second half, but you're going to get a lot of sloppy play in the preseason in the second half of games. 1-800-355-NFL-1. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I mean, I really don't know which way it's going to go. You're going to get some exuberance, I think, over Blake. You're going to get some worry over Julius Thomas. I'm sure there's going to be some hand-wringing over maybe Luke Jokel missing on James Harrison and a few others, but let's find out.
It is
shall
the
we?
Bewitching hour of midnight too, so there'll be a little
glad
little
you're hanging
out.
With us
yes.
here. All right, and sure. And come on board at 355-NFL-1. Let's start on the south side. Saqib starts off our year.
A shocker.
He's a barometer, oftentimes, of the emotional state of the Jaguar fan base. Saqib, how are you?
What's up, boys?
What's up? Oh, hey, he sounds good.
Happy
he sounds
guy.
Happy.
I'm not jumping off the bridge yet, so I'm good now, you know? Hey, let me ask you guys, I mean, obviously I'm concerned about the whole Julius injury, you know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you every fan was, when they showed that he was injured, every fan next to me was like, oh my goodness, you know? Here we go. But I'm hoping he's okay and he comes back week one against Carolina. But the offensive line, man, to me, they protected Blake, they did their job. I'm so happy, man. I mean, I'm happy to see him not get hit, and it was just awesome to see that. And I'm just hoping just they keep it going, and I'm just gonna be the biggest cheerleader of this year, man. I can't wait till the week one against Carolina, man.
Can Tony record that and play it back at a moment's notice later on the season?
We'll just play that every start of every call-in show for the rest of the season. We got 19 left.
Saqib, we're happy that you're happy. Right, and I'll say this: even when Blake got some pressure, the one overthrow that wasn't because of the pressure. He beat the pressure by stepping up in the pocket. And you like to see that. And one thing that was evident from him, JP, from the day he got here, is when he does step up, he keeps his eyes downfield. He doesn't step up and think, "Okay, here's pressure. I'm tucking it. I'm taking off." He is looking to make that big play, and the play presented itself. He just missed it. I'll live with that. You know, the other ones, the drops, look, these guys catch those balls. I think Hearns might walk into the end zone, and I think Harbor has a chance to get in the end zone on each of those plays, those two drops. So, yep. You know, the numbers could have looked even better when it was all said and done.
Good point in the offensive line, though. It starts there. They had a very good night, the starters especially, and it gave him time. The only, you know, he was hit that one time, the sack that Harrison beat Jokel. That was the only real blemish on the night, I think.
Right,
for the
certainly O-line. The only glaring thing. I'm sure other guys missed blocks along the way. But, you know, it's good to, for me, we watch it on the TV broadcast here in the studio, and you don't always get the replay angle that you want. But it looked to us, I thought, like Parnell played pretty well. It was good to see Fred watching it from the press box view, felt the same way. I feel like that point of view has a little more legitimacy when he backs it up.
Yeah, run over the right side with Linder and Parnell and tight ends all over there. That's a good place to run the ball, and it was effective early. Yes.
All right, 355 NFL 1 out to Mandarin we go. Dave, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hey, man. Doing good, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Great.
Not much, man. Just headed home for the game, man. And on 295, the traffic cloud broke up. But I can't tell you, man, how excited I am about the new season coming up here, man. Everybody looked great. I'm in section 241. I do have a comment about a couple of the receivers. But before I say that, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Mr. Taylor, man. It was good hearing him again. A lot of great memories. Good stand-up guy. Great role model. I really wish his son all the best in the future. But, man, I think I counted five or six flags in a row, man, holding calls. And that's okay. I know we're working the bugs out of that. But on the plus side of that, it's good to see our defense being that aggressive to where the refs are calling that. I don't know if they were calling it more to keep the other, you know, keep everything safe and stuff on the field. But I know we're working the bugs out of that. I mean, hell, it was my first tailgate this season, so I got to – couple penalty flags for a couple burnt burgers, so I'll work that out as well. But I'll tell you, man, I was holding my breath, man, when Bortles came around that corner and made a break for that pile on it. It scared the hell out of me. It really did. I'll tell you what, though, but I love to see the adrenaline. I love to see the effort. All in all, everybody looked good. I was just concerned about a couple of drop balls I saw going across the middle there. I don't know, you know, I didn't see the whole play, so I don't know if that was all on the receivers. Maybe you guys saw something that I didn't. But, hey, man, love the show. Looking forward to a great season. Go Jaguars, and I'll listen to you. I'll hang up and listen to you, man. Thanks.
All right, David. Oh, you know, one more beverage, you don't even taste that burn on that burger. It's fine, okay?
I tell you, the drops, yes, I think most of those were the receivers. The Clay Harborman was out there a bit, but it's an NFL tight end.
I think he's got to catch up.
Veteran tight end. I think it's in his hands. He's got to catch it. So, yes, you know, an interesting point Gus made this week about defensive backs. He was talking about they're aggressive, got penalties tonight and such. The question was about the interception total last year, six interceptions for the defense, and we mentioned in the pregame, only three of those by defensive backs last year, and only one defensive back on the roster still from last year had a pick. That's Dwayne Gratz. He had one of them. But in camp, the Jags have been better at pass breakups. They've had tighter coverage on receivers. And Gus said that has improved from the spring to now the summer. That number has gone up, at least in practice. Well, in practice, the officiating may not be as tight as in a game. So maybe some of those in practice might have been called in games too. I think that's the adjustment of a preseason game. You're playing tight in practice. Sometimes things may or may not be seen or called. You get away with some things here or there. But that's what this is for, and I think that's a good thing.
And even beyond the preseason, JP, I think it's a trade-off. If you make some game-changing plays, you may give up a few more completions because you try to jump a route. And Gus said that after practice the other day. He said, we'll live with that. You know, we want these guys to be in the mindset that they're not afraid, that the ball is theirs, and let's take it away and let's set our offense up or maybe score it ourselves. And, you know, if you do that enough times, you're going to counterbalance the big plays you're going to get.
Right, and if you're close enough to break it up or make an interception, guess what? You're probably close enough to interfere with the guy too, and that sometimes is going to happen when you're trying to make a play.
All right, 355 NFL 1, Randy and McClenny and Terrence on the north side, hang in there. We're coming to you next as we come back and take more calls.
Yeah, how about that? Kiss game day parking hassles goodbye, Mike, with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Five convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. More of your calls on the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Scoreboard Show continues right now.
We continue. Jaguars win it 23-21 over the Steelers. in week one of the preseason. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open. People are, cautiously optimistic, would be a good way so far to put it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you don't want to go overboard. It's preseason, but you'd rather see success. You'd rather see good things in the preseason. And we're just saying on the break, if it weren't for the hand injury to Julius Thomas, people would probably be pretty giddy about tonight, you know, overall. And, you know, if Thomas's timetable is accurate, what Gus said, if he can get back for the start of the season, and if, you know, everybody else stays relatively healthy, if you get Marquise Lee back, at T.J. Yeldon back maybe next week, and start to put some pieces around Blake and diversify this offense even a little bit more. 355-NFL-1, the number 355-6351. If you'd like to get on board the Scoreboard Show, Mike Dempsey with J.P. Shadrick. And J.P., they say the best way to take in a football game is with a large, large hat on your head. Terrence on the north side knows all about that. He had a big sombrero out of training camp the other day. What's up, Terrence? How are you?
Hey, Mike, JP. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Terrence?
Mike, these fans calling in like we just won the Super Bowl.
Set them straight, Terrence.
Mike, this is just preseason. I'm excited about the execution of the game, but not about the win. I mean, it's preseason. Mike, I want to ask you, but the thing I'm looking for is what is going on with Rashard Green and why he's not running, why he's not playing wide receiver. And I don't understand that, why he's not running with the receivers. I mean, running with – I didn't see him play at all as a receiver right there.
Okay.
And so I just want to get your take on that.
All right, Terrence, thank you for the call. We'll try to talk you a little bit off the ledge here. I think Rashard Green, we talked about it, J.P., since he's got here, he's kind of had a slow start, you know, throughout
quiet
the
start.
Quiet, yeah. I'm not saying he's, you know, oh my gosh, he doesn't look like he could play in the NFL, but he hasn't really stood out that much. And what you've had is you've had Aurelius Ben and Tony Washington, who really have, and they deserved opportunities. Ben made a really nice play tonight. Washington made a couple of catches tonight. So I think guys right now, in terms of their impact on the receiving game, if you were to open the season tomorrow, I think if Marquise Lee were still out, you would have Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Aurelius Ben as your top three receivers, just pure receivers based on what we've seen in camp. Would you agree with that?
I don't know. It's so early right now, man. I don't know if I could put
it. Well, it is early. That's what I'm saying. If it were to happen right now.
You put Ben third over Green.
But based on what I've seen, I think he's outplayed him up to this point. I'm not saying that he's got the high-end potential maybe of Rashad or whatever. Let's not forget, this guy was a second-round pick.
He's been around, yeah.
He's a big physical guy. He's had a lot of injuries. He's healthy right now. Look, I don't think he's going to light the league on fire. But I'm just giving him his props for what he's been able to accomplish in practice up until this point. And I think, you know, look, Rashard Green, if you're going to ask where is the one impact most needed from him, it's in the return game, right? I mean, I think they feel like that all three of the second-year guys should be ahead of him because they're acclimated to the National Football League. Certainly people think Allen Robinson's ready to be a star in this league sooner rather than later. So, you know, Rashard Green's impact on a team that wants to run the ball as probably at best the fourth receiver, probably not going to be that significant catching the football this year anyway. If he can make the impact he made in the return game tonight, though, flip the field a couple of times a week, that's all you need out of this guy to make, you know, have a successful rookie season, at least in my book. By the way, if this had been the regular season, Jags did not have a punt return of at least 37 yards since 2010.
Whoa.
So it's been a while since we've seen that explosive element in the return game.
About Aurelius Ben, by the way, I mean, you got to go back to 2011 with Tampa Bay when he actually had true numbers in the league. I mean, 14 starts that year for Tampa Bay, 30 receptions, 441 yards. It's 2011. He's been banged up a couple times since then. 2012, he was hurt that year, and it's just been a long road for Ben, not to say he can't get back to it, and this is a good start to get back to it, I think.
Yeah, look, all he's trying to do is
make
a roster.
I'm just not into if you asked if it's today, sure, today.
But I'm basing it on what I've seen, and you've probably seen a lot more practice than I have because Tony and I are doing Jaguars today. During OTAs, the practice occurred at the same time. You've probably seen more of it, but I'm talking about what I've seen with my eyes. I think Aurelius Ben has stood out more than most of the receivers on this team, with the exception of the second-year guys.
There you have it. Yeah, sure.
That's it.
That's all right. That's fine.
Let's go to Alton on the south side and welcome him on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Alton. How are you?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's up, man? I tell you what, I'll give Jerry Sullivan a break because while Alan Hearns dropped one, Clay Harper's a tight end, and two of the backs dropped passes too.
Right.
So, it's not all on Jerry Sullivan. I don't know what it – you know, Alan Hearns at times last year would make spectacular plays and at times would drop a couple in the breadbasket. You know, you hope that doesn't become a reoccurring theme this year. But that was definitely one that had to be caught. You mentioned the Clay Harper one was a little bit more difficult. I think Clay Harper should have brought that in as well. And certainly Pierce should have had the little dump off that Blake threw him. But, you know, hey, it is preseason. It's nice that we can nitpick on a night when Blake went 11 for 15 for 118 yards, you know, against not completely the first team of the Steeler defense, but a good mix throughout the mid of the second quarter.
That's a fair statement, yes.
Thank you,
I agree with that, yes.
All right, I just want to come up with a couple of statements that you'll agree with.
Thank
before
you.
It's all said and done.
I can't wait.
Let's get Randy and McClenny here on the Scoreboard Show. Randy, you're on with Mike Dempsey and J.P. Shadrick. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Long-time caller, first-time listener. I just want to say two words, T-Bow. All right, T-Bow.
All right, thank you, Randy.
Hold on.
What? Oh,
he wasn't done yet.
Oh, he was not. Was that? Those weren't his two words. You haven't had enough.
You cut him off.
I did.
Ah,
it was his birthday yesterday.
Hater.
It's Saturday now. It's not his birthday anymore. All right, long time caller, first time listener.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Okay, I don't think he missed the tailgate tonight. Yeah, I think Randy took the tailgate in just fine.
I think he did. That's for sure.
There you go.
We'll come back in a moment. More of your calls, maybe 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get some scores from preseason action as well. Jags win it 23-21. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show,
Scoreboard Show.
Continues right now.
Scoreboard Show. J.P. Shattuck, Mike Dempsey. Jaguars win at 23-21. Some other scores. Since this is a Scoreboard Show, there are some other games in the National Football League tonight in preseason week one. A couple underway. A fourth quarter now in Oakland. The Raiders and Jack Del Rio's first game with Oakland. They lead the Rams 18-3. That's early fourth. Late third quarter, Broncos over the Seahawks 19-13. Brock Osweiler, 15 of 20 passing, 151 yards and a touchdown for Denver. And some earlier games from tonight. We get down the scoreboard a bit. What is this, Friday? Yes, the Falcons over the Titans, 31-24 final. Panthers come back and beat the Bills, 25-24. What a rally for the Panthers tonight. Cam Newton did play in this game tonight. He did throw a touchdown as well. Bengals over the Giants, 23-10. That's a final also. Michael?
Jags now have a one-game preseason division lead on Tennessee.
Big time.
Woo!
Big time.
All right, 355 NFL-1. Let's go back to the south side where things are hopping, apparently, right now at this late hour. John joins us here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So I thought overall we played well. My big concern I have, and I've had it for some time now, was Luke Joeckel. Seems like he just doesn't have it. I mean, James Harrison's a 37-year-old, you know, DN who was retired the game last year. He went right by him. And as soon as I saw it, I knew that had to be Joeckel because I've just seen it time and time again. So do you think we have competition if they know he's not the guy to make a move, but we're just going to go with him because he was the second pick and we're forced to give him another year? What are your thoughts?
This is right in Dempsey's wheelhouse. There was a big conversation about this in the pregame between you and Tony Boselli tonight, and it got a little heated.
Look,
I'll be quite honest.
My point is that Tony's wrong, and Luke Joeckel has got to show more than he has in his first couple of years. And we all understand the reasons why, or he hasn't, whether it was injury, shifting different sides of the line, rehabbing instead of working out, you know, to improve his game last year because of the injury, whatever. But I think John's going overboard when he says Do you think if they don't think he's the guy? I don't think the team thinks that way at all about Luke Joeckel, okay? On that play, he got beat very badly. But I'm not sitting there breaking down the film of the offensive line, and I couldn't tell you what he did on every single snap tonight and how he'll grade out. But certainly, I agree. When that play happened, James Harrison went around him way too easily. And really, JP, that's all it takes to ruin a game for an offensive tackle. One or two of those big plays, you get your quarterback hit, Blake fumbled, got the ball back. That could have been, you know, a big strip sack turnover for the Pittsburgh Steelers at that point in time. So, you know, you can't have those jailbreaks to the quarterback. But, again, overall, I think the offensive line played much better tonight. Luke Joeckel certainly stood out on that one play. But I couldn't tell you, you know, other plays that I saw where it looked like he was getting whipped tonight. So I didn't think it was a terrible game for Luke, but that was a bad play, to be sure.
Tony Vaselli told a story. I'm not going to compare the two. It's not even a comparison. But told a story about, I think it was a preseason game out west, and the team's flying back next day. They get the paper. Front page of the sports section is Vaselli gives up sack is the headline. He gave up one sack in the game. And it was that was the story, and that was the focus at that time. One sack does not make a whole body of work.
But it's not like you've got a Pro Bowl tackle. You say, oh, he gave up a sack. It's no big deal. He's a Pro Bowl tackle. Luke Joeckel has not distinguished himself. And this is whether it matters what the fans think in terms of what the Jags do with their personnel. And I don't think it does. But from the fans' point of view, this is their point of view, is that Luke Joeckel has severely underperformed for the first 2 years as a guy. And I know, you know, Tony brought the point, what difference does it make where he was drafted? Well, it does to the fans. When you say this guy, when Dave Caldwell says he was the best guy in the entire draft, that was his point of view on Luke Joeckel. He has not played like the best guy in that entire draft.
Have you seen the rest of that draft?
Yeah, I have. It's not a great draft. You telling me you can't find guys that are better than Luke Joeckel? You telling me Sheldon Richardson would have been a better pick than Luke Joeckel based on the way he's performed the first couple of years? Sheldon Richardson's been a Pro Bowler. You kidding me? I mean, there are guys that made the Pro Bowl out of that draft. So I'm just saying, look, I'm not trying to kill Luke Joeckel here.
I think you might be.
Well, you know, I think you're enjoying just pushing this point of view because it's widespread
I'm
among the fan base.
I'm not pushing anything. You're worried about the fans all the time.
I'm telling you that the fan base has a widespread opinion that I agree with, that Luke Joeckel has underperformed for 2 years. Now, again, there are reasons that you can factor in due to injury, due to switching from right tackle to left tackle, all these different things. But the fact of the matter is, has he played like a franchise left tackle? Not even – forget the number two pick in the draft. Forget about Vaselli territory. Has he played like a franchise left tackle? Has he played like a top half of the league
Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
What round was Jeremy Parnell drafted in?
Was he undrafted?
I have no idea. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter after a few years where you're drafted. You're an NFL player.
But it does matter. It certainly matters.
How does it matter?
Because if you consistently take guys that don't perform up to their draft position, you're going to be out of a job.
Well, consistently,
yes. But I'm saying this is the first draft pick in the franchise history. Dave Caldwell doesn't have a long track record, okay? You can't judge anybody from this year's draft class. You could barely judge last year's, okay? People look at Luke Joeckel, Jonathan Cyprien, Dwayne Gratz, first three picks of this regime, and they're not jumping off the page at them. I know the coaching staff says they like the way Cyprien has played and that he's been a solid player, but he didn't have the breakout season. A lot of people were anticipating a huge season out of him last year.
He led the team in tackles.
Leading the team in tackles.
I'm just saying.
But what are the plays that stand out to you? You know what the biggest play that stands out to me from Jonathan Cyprien last year? Taking a bad angle on Jeremy Hill and he goes 60 yards after the Jags get back in the football game. You know what play stands out tonight? Taking a bad angle on Le'Veon Bell and Le'Veon Bell pops it outside for 16 yards or whatever the distance of the run was. So, look, I'm not trying to kill these guys, but let's be realistic about that first draft class. They're not performing like you'd want them to based on where they were picked.
Okay.
All right. Well, but that's the whole point of the conversation.
Okay. All right. So what's your point?
My point is, that is the point.
What
do you mean that doesn't make
any
sense?
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Are you serious or are you being purposely dense right now?
Okay.
Honest to goodness.
I got him going.
If that's really your point of view, the fan base would think you're completely out of touch. I guarantee you that. Do you think Luke Jokela has played well the first 2 years?
Well, no.
Do you think he has something to prove in his career?
I think so, sure.
Okay, that was my entire point with Luke
Jokela. Why'd you have to go all the way around to just say that?
Because I've said that, and you're acting there with this deadpan look on your face like you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I think you're playing dumb.
Yeah,
that's why.
We'll come back in a moment. We'll get some more Mike Dempsey. He's excited about the Jaguars' win tonight. 23-21 over the Steelers. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. There's apparently a couch in the parking lot tonight, too.
Yeah, it made an appearance on the pregame show, by the way.
That's right. This is the Scoreboard Show. More Mike Dempsey after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues.
It did not stop during the break.
With
either.
Mike Dempsey. He's very intense about tonight's game. The Jaguars win 23-21. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A fracture in what the team is calling the hand for Julius Thomas. And Gus Bradley said on radio earlier that he hopes to have him back by week one. That's good news for the Jaguars tight end. And that's the only significant injury that we've heard about in tonight's game. And, of course, you know about the guys who were not available tonight that hopefully are back, a few of them maybe, for next week's game in New York.
Yeah, put it this way. When Julius Thomas popped up, you knew it wasn't as catastrophic as it could be immediately, right? Because he got his legs taken out from under him. He did the whole flip, and you're thinking, boy, if that's a lower body injury, you know, did he tear a ligament? You don't know. And then he pops right up, goes to the sideline. You see him taking a look at the hand, and as it turns out, it looks like they avoided a much more serious situation.
It was weird because I don't remember him hitting the hand.
He probably braced himself when he came down, I'm guessing, or he landed. He had it holding the football, and he had it underneath his body, something like that, and he landed on the back of his hand. Shall we go back to the phones? Shall we risk it?
I don't know. We want to talk about the left tackle some more?
I will talk about it all night if you'd like to.
Okay? I'd rather not.
I'll say here's one from you.
Because it's one preseason game.
On Twitter. Mike and JP going at it. I agree with JP. People focus on that one sack. Okay, it was one sack. What about the rest of the game? I believe I said I thought he played pretty well, with the exception of that one play.
Yeah.
But how long was he in there? And it's not like this is not an issue that people have been waiting to see what happens with Luke Jokela. To me, other than Blake Bortles, he's the number one focus for me tonight to see how this guy plays. And, you know, you don't have to be flawless every game, but I do think that there is a concern that he's not physical, that he's not strong enough. Tony Pasquale tell you himself, he has difficulty dealing with the bull rush, right? Planning. And they talked on the broadcast, Tony and Jeff, like they thought he was anticipating that and trying to put himself in position. And by doing that, he's thinking too much.
Off balance.
And Harrison goes right around him. So, I mean, I think that's an issue now that he's in year three of his NFL career.
I think it's a real issue if it's preseason game three and the starters are going three quarters and that's an issue for three quarters. That's when I think it's a real issue. I don't think it's an issue in preseason week one.
That's just my personal opinion. And that's fine.
That's what I was trying to say through your red-faced argument.
Well, I'm always red-faced, okay? But he came in carrying this baggage, okay? And whether you agree or not, trust me, I talk to the Jaguar fans every day. This is maybe their number one concern about this football team, is that position on this football team. And when early in the game, when it's ones versus ones, and you got 37-year-old James Harrison, who was out of the league a couple of years ago and then decided to come back, just goes around him that easily. I don't care if it's preseason week one, two, three, or four. It's ones versus ones. I don't need to see that in the very first quarter of the first preseason game when that's the biggest concern I've got going into the season.
My point is that they'll look at it. If it's an issue, they'll change it. If it's not, they'll keep it. How's that? So what are you freaking out about? That's what I'm asking you.
Do you understand that sports inspires passion in some people?
Yes.
I'm one of those. Okay?
Yes.
All right?
Okay.
I don't consider this freaking out. I consider this a heated sports debate.
Isn't that
what our jobs are in large part?
I don't know.
All right.
Anymore. I have
let's go to Chris. He's on his way to Fleming Island. 355-NFL-1.
Maybe it's calmer in Fleming tonight.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, I was on my way to Fleming Island. I'm already home now listening to the Jokela argument. That's great. Hey, go steer things over to the positive side a little bit. I want to talk about the running backs.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like, I don't envy Gus and Dave. They're going to have some tough decisions with the running backs when they get ready to start cutting the roster down. Two things I take away from tonight. It's obvious that Gerhardt was – the injury last year was a little more serious than we were – than we thought, and because I think tonight he did what we expected him to do. That's get yards after contact. I mean, he was a different player tonight. And the second thing was Denard Robinson. I thought coming into the season, if he could make the leap like he did from his rookie year to last season and even come anywhere close to that this year, he's got a chance to be not just a contributor, but a really special player. And I think tonight showed that. I mean, he's a guy that I know they probably drafted him to be that third down guy because he's so dangerous in space and getting the ball in space, but he's proven that he can get the ball to space by himself. I thought his vision was good. I thought he's showing patience and waiting for blocks to develop, and he knows when to go. I think he can be a number one running back in this league. I know it's a small sample size, but if any indication of what he did last year from his rookie year, if that even comes close to transpiring this year, we're going to be pretty good at running back.
All right, Chris, thank you. A couple of things. One, I don't think they drafted him because I don't think they knew why. You know what? They drafted him almost to say, he's such a good athlete, let's figure it out once we get him here, right? Because they tried him in a bunch of different capacities, Denard Robinson.
Oh, yeah, sure.
When he first got
here. Call him an offensive weapon.
Right, exactly. We're going to try him here. We're going to try him here. And they overloaded him.
Yeah.
And then they finally found a niche and is really – I think surprised a lot of us. He surprised us last year, but he's continued to take steps to look more like a natural running back, not just a converted quarterback.
The thing you got to go back to, Caldwell liked him when Caldwell was in Atlanta. They went and visited him there, in the whole process of scouting and such, and got to know him a little bit. And that goes all the way back to that. And, in fact, after they made the pick, the GM in Atlanta, Dimitroff, called him and said, I knew you were going to pick that guy. That's how that was going to happen. That just seemed like the fit, and he was still on the board at that point. He's a smart enough guy to adapt, and he did it at Michigan too when he had issues with the hand there. They moved a running back there. He had to learn how to do it and contributed a different way. And he's almost like a chameleon here. It's the same kind of thing. He can adapt to a couple of different things. If he's got to be that kind of running back, I'm going to try to put on some weight and do it the right way. And I think he's smart enough to realize that he's going to have to do that maybe throughout his career a time or two to be able to be on the field.
Two things about Toby. One, yes, clearly the injury impacted last year. We were talking about that as we were watching the game tonight. And two, B, however you want to put it, is Greg Olsen may have called more Toby Gerhardt style runs than Jed Fish did an entire year last year. We're not running that zone stuff outside. Toby Gerhardt is a bruiser. He's pretty straight line-ish. He'll occasionally make a guy miss, but it's his physical nature, his strength, that allows him to break tackles and going right at somebody's when he's at his best, and that's how they used him tonight. So that probably played a role in why he looked better than he did most of last year.
When he breaks through after going through the middle, then it's hard to bring that horse down.
He gets some momentum, there's no question about it. All right, where are we going? Epre, is that Epre? I'm going to go with Epre in San Marco. What's up, Epre?
Yeah, I guess the question I have is that the first series of the Jaguars, was that an indication of who the Jaguars are? As the series evolved in the first quarter, is that who the Jaguars are? I guess that's my biggest question.
Tune in 4 weeks, and we'll start to find out. I mean, it as much as we feel good about what Bortles and the offense is able to do, as we said, let's not panic, but let's see a longer look with this first-team defense. Now, one of the best offenses in the league, no doubt about it. Ben Roethlisberger's at the height of his game over the last couple of years. But that was awfully easy for the Steelers to go down, bing, 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 bing. So let's hope that's more of an aberration, but it is probably one of the best offenses you'll see all year going up against this Jaguar defense.
There you have it. One more segment to go in the Scoreboard Show. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Jaguars win it 23-21 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show, 23-21, Jaguars over the Steelers in preseason week 1, the Giants coming up next week. We'll see if there's Luke Jokel improvement next week, right? I guess maybe we won't.
I don't feel like you want me to comment on it anymore. So I'll just
I'll leave it to you now.
I've given my opinion on
Apparently you have.
I think I've made it very clear. How I feel about it. So nothing more needs to be said.
I still think it's early. Just let him play a little bit.
And as I said, I've already stated everything I'm going to say on the issue.
Okay. That's all.
We're going in circles at this
point.
Okay.
Well, fine. The Giants and the Jags.
Yes, revenge game for the Giants.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, if they're going to call Denver-Seattle a Super Bowl 48 rematch, then, yeah, I'd say it's a revenge game for the Giants from the shocking Jaguar victory last year. Aaron Colvin's coming out party.
Yeah, how about a little crisper defense next week?
That would be nice. And I'll say that. That's a much bigger – tonight, judging the concern meter, if you're just judging it on one game – the first-team defense was much more concerning to me on that drive than Luke Jokel was. So if that makes you happy, I don't know, maybe that makes you feel even worse. I don't know. So, yes, we'd like to see better defense next week.
One down, 19 to go. How about that?
How about that? That would, let's see, 20-0 plus postseason. You probably a 16-0 regular season get you a bye. I'm thinking.
Probably.
Yeah.
You think?
So, you know, with the preseason included 23-0, would that be right? Did I do my math on that? I think so.
Yeah, I've lost.
You can't win all 23 without the first one.
That's a good point.
There you have it. Wasn't this seriously, we talked about this earlier, didn't last preseason game one against Tampa go very similarly? I want to say Jags had a lead early, lost it. Stephen Morris came in with a chance for some late game heroics, but ended it with a pick instead. You know, good for him. At least drove him down and got the score this time.
I thought you'd be going into like a diatribe about how you were upset about something that happened the first preseason game last year with like Morris or something.
If you don't want me to have any emotion on the postgame show, I will be a mindless robot from this point forward. Okay, JP,
there can only be one mindless robot on this
their
show.
Games. Okay,
and that's me. I'm not
upset at anything. Is that better?
Yes.
I'll try it out. I'll give it a try.
23-21 final. Mike, we'll talk to you in the pregame next week. I guess.
We'll talk before then.
Will we?
I don't know.
Will we?
Sucker punch coming.
Who knows?
From somebody.
Camp fight. Here we go. Let's get it on.
See, to me, this is not a fight. This is my natural state of being. Yeah. I enjoy this.
I hear this down the hall a good
you
bit.
You sit in the next room with the door open. That's
what
your problem.
What hair I have left was blown off my head a second ago. Yeah.
I probably spit on you a few times.
I probably did. Mike Dempsey, well done. Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato on the phones. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week. The Jaguars and the New York Giants. That's it for the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.